Hey everyone, super fun show today. We were actually joined by Franklin, who is one of the biggest Bored Ape holders. I believe that he's pushing 57 Bored Apes at this point and has been making a bunch of wild market moves, including borrowing against the Bored Apes, selling other assets, buying more, having to pay off the leverage that he took on. It's pretty crazy. We also talk about projects like Azuki and try to find some lower end action in the NFT market as well for people that don't have as deep of pockets. As usual, this show is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up with the code THENIFTY on mobile or at thenifty.com/FTX. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. We are in a bloody market right now. Are we going to make it? Who knows? Hope everyone's having a good week so far and has some decent plans on tap for the weekend. This is the NFT morning show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We talk all things NFT market, NFT stories, everything that's going on in the NFT space. I see my co-host Nifty Nick unmuted. What's going on, Nick?
Well, I didn't unmute for any purpose other than to, you know, just say good morning. And yeah, I mean, this market's looking absolutely beautiful this morning. I like to wake up to the blood, you know. It's a good way to start. They say you got to go down before you go up, I think, is the way that this works somehow. Yeah, that's sort of how I'm thinking about it. And
Nick, your voice is literally shaking. What the hell's going on over there? You're scaring me.
What are you talking about?
Your voice was shaking when you were saying that.
Really?
Now my voice is shaking. My voice just shakes. What's happening?
He's trying to speak and update his resume at the same time.
For the McDonald's application.
No, that's definitely not the case. Regardless, it's a good morning, and I enjoy your music selection there. Say it straight up to my fay, you know?
Okay. I said on a different show last night, I never know what Nick is going to, like, when Nick's going to like the music versus not like the music. It really is a crapshoot. So, okay, you liked Drake and Post Malone. I'll know that.
The bar that I set is very high for my music selection. You know, as many listeners of this show have identified, it's just all about that really high-end, cleanly selected sounds for your audible pleasure, and that's all that we focus on, you know, around here. And the bar, I just keep trying to push the bar higher. Pio is the one who ends up selecting all the music, but I keep trying to just push him, you know, and that's what I'm here for, is just to advise on the music tracks, not to actually do the work.
Well, for somebody that pushes, you don't push very hard. I can't even remember the last time you suggested a song, but it's okay, Nick. You're here, you know, because you have very unique talent. You're able to always predict the bottom of the top, the bottom and the top, and you're never, ever worried about what the market is doing. We've got a great set of speakers on stage right now. Very excited to do this show. I've also invited Franklin to join us. We tried to get him on stage yesterday, but because Twitter Spaces is still a nascent product, sometimes you just literally can't get people on stage. Even in the past, we've had sponsors not be able to come on stage, and we've had to reschedule sponsorships because of the technology of Twitter Spaces. So hopefully Franklin can come. Hopefully he's available. I DM'd him. I pinged him on Twitter. We'll see what's up. Captain Kicks, it's my understanding that you're on weather today, right, buddy?
Yeah, I'm on weather today, but first I have a really quick, funny story. Because I had, like, the weirdest night of sleep of my life because, like, my daughter just, like, refused to go to bed for hours, and then she woke up screaming bloody murder in the middle of the night, brought her in to sleep with us, and then, like, I couldn't fall asleep. I woke up at 4. I didn't fall asleep till 6. I slept till, like, 7:30, woke up. I literally woke up 5 minutes ago. And I don't know if you, like, have ever had choppy sleep like that. Sometimes you get, like, the weirdest dreams of your life. I literally had a dream about Nifty Portal before I woke up. And we were all at a, like, kind of, like, L.A., one floor kind of house party. And, like, everyone was, like, partying, having a good time. And we were, like, all going to, like, get on a bus. And as we're going to get on a bus, like, Nick literally, like, looks super serious. And he, like, pulls me aside. He's like, Nick, I need to have a conversation with you. I'm like, what's up? And he's like, I just, like, got off the phone with our lawyers. And you need to stop making references to weed on our shows. And was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you've made it like twice in the last week and it's becoming an issue. And I was like, like, okay. And then so I go to get on the bus and this guy walks by me with like literally 2 ounces of weed to get on the bus. And Nick didn't say anything to him. And then I woke up and then I came downstairs and got on the
pounds of weed.
Yeah, dude. So that was my weird dream before I woke up. So I went into like a weird ass dimension. But anyways, let's talk about the weather.
That sounds like a dream that a college drug dealer would have. Go ahead. Sorry, Kix.
No, but it was weird because then Nick's face looked like one of my old business partners when I talked to him the second time. When I was like, hey, buddy, by the way, someone walked by with like 2 ounces of weed. It looked like my old business partner. So like my brain's having some weird issues right now. Like I'm going through all sorts of like mental trauma or something, who knows. Cool. So Friday, May 6th, 2022, overnight volume was at 168 million. It actually is interesting. After the other side, Mint, like which was at 476, we obviously had two big legs down. But since then, we've had like 3 days of holding at this 168 to like 180 million dollar range. And that's significant for a couple of reasons. One is because those 3 days, they're still like at the highest level of the range since the beginning of February. So that's pretty good to see. And also it's hitting those numbers despite the fact that since Ethereum is down, it's harder for us pound for pound to get to $177 million. I'm also still seeing more and more crypto traders coming into NFTs. I literally talked to a buddy of mine, huge investor. He aped into Pixin last night. I already told you the Pixin story. So it's interesting. I mean, we could actually get some potentially some additional movement in like NFTs if people really start to capitulate on the crypto side. We'll have to see how that plays out. But in terms of the price action of our blue chips, Apes came down to 106, Mutants down to 23, Other D down to 3.38. Nick, just an absolute genius, clearing a quarter milli at the top of Other D, and then pretending like he had FOMO live on stage to throw us all off. No, just kidding, Nick. So that is the Ape collections. We had the highest 24-hour, Azuki's, Clonex's, Doodles, all pretty much ranging. Doodles holding that 20 ETH floor, Azuki holding that mid-20 floor, Clonex, a little bit of a pullback, trying to hold 17. The thing to remember about Clonex, though, is it is a collection of 20, so it's not a straight comparable to Azuki or Doodles. If you wanted to compare that, it's really like at a 35. Over the last 24 hours, we did have the beans reveal. And to nobody's surprise, the beans look like beans. And so they've dropped a little bit, but it looks like they're trying to stabilize around a 4 ETH floor. I'm going to butcher this name. I'm very sorry. I need to spend more time with Japanese culture. Azuki welcomed Rahito Hatayama, the former CEO of Sanrio, as an advisor to Chiru Labs. He helped build iconic brands like Hello Kitty, and he is now going to be building iconic global brands like Hello Beans. Doodles community is gearing up for a big announcement today. We'll have to ask some of our doodlers on stage, such as Wappy, how he's feeling about that. 10KTF, with one of the most hyped up reveals of all time, revealed Battletown, a new platform where holders use the project's items to participate in campaigns. Yeah, it sounds kind of like a game, I guess. Genesis floor at 1.1 ETH. Pixin went against expectations and actually pumped after their 6K allow list missed. Mint floor holding above 3.6. I think like right now it's in the 3.5, 3.6 range. I should have seen that coming because someone did tell me that all the whitelist, like that the Discord's like a cult. And anyone on that allow list, most of them were going to diamond hand it. So that thing like ripped like a bullet from 2 ETH all the way up to 3.6. I actually bought one at 3.3 last night. The last thing I saw before I fell asleep is someone pinging me. Kicks by the local top? Well, I guess not, buddy, because it's at 3.6. I bought at 3.3. Probably looking to scoop up one or two. Despite the shaky markets, I do feel like Pixon has so much hype. The art's pretty good. This could be that next, like, is it going to be a blue chip kind of project? So if you're looking for a horse to bet on that maybe could make a run above 10 ETH, I don't think Pixon is a bad horse to bet on. Of course, when the reveal comes out, maybe you'd expect some chops, some consolidation, and maybe it could make a move up. Shifting quickly over to the markets, definitely saw some pretty bad markets on the equity side and on the crypto side. Big drops yesterday. Today, a little bit of a smaller leg down, but looks like things are down by about like 1%. So still in a very shaky macro environment, but at least me personally, I'm still impressed by the fact that NFTs are still clearing about $160 million of volume per day for the last 3 days. That is very good when you look at a 2-month trend. I do know a lot of projects are pulling back. So despite us doing a lot of volume, it may be a lot of flipping volume. So you may just want to be operating with a trader mentality and just trying to lock in gains. Back over to you in the studio. Looking forward to this weekend. Let's see what happens in NFT land.
Fantastic weather report, Kicks. That was awesome. So you really like this Pixon thing.
Right? Yeah, I mean, well, I like, at first I liked it just because of like the amount of like hype that it has gotten and the amount of people that have talked to me about it. Like I have people talking to me about it once again, that like don't traditionally trade NFTs. I was a little scared by the whitelist, of course, but now we can see that that wasn't really a worry at all. But like I did some research, like these guys, They launched their like OpenSea deployer in like January. So like they've been, you know, working on this project for a period of months. It has, you know, an anime style art, but it does look quite high quality. It's not like the, I forget the one that came out of house, but like this actually looks like, you know, pretty high quality. There's also like a tokenomics structure to it already. So you already know that the NFTs are going to get like a 9% of the token supply, and they've already laid out like the token usage. So actually like the tokens will be used for NFT customization to like upgrade your NFT. But they say certain NFT collections. So it's maybe not going to be the first one. It's going to be like other NFTs that you get, but there's a token play there. But just like the website looks high quality, the art looks pretty high quality, and then like the hype around it is very, very, very strong. And if we know anything about NFTs, like hype and marketing, kind of, you know, with anything in life, it drives price. Yesterday when I first checked in, the amount of unique older owners was 5.5k. That's up to 6.3k. So we're already at 6.3k uniques out of a collection of 10, and the floor's holding at 3.5. Once again, probably expect some, you know, choppy action or consolidation around the reveal. But if the reveal is really good and the NFT markets don't completely die, I think this is a pretty good horse to bet on to be like, you know, a runner in price.
Okay, one more quick question on it. Who are the creators of it? Like, who is the team running it? Because in my opinion, that's the most important question to ask.
Yeah, fantastic question. I just accidentally turned their website.
The fact that you don't know off the top of your head is a big concern.
Well, no. To be honest with you, I have no fucking clue. But I do know that the guy behind SVS is involved
Sneaky
in this
vampire
project.
Syndicate.
Yeah, the guy behind that is involved in this in some way, shape, or form. Like either helped with just the mint or is on the project altogether. But yeah, I would have to do more research into the founders, but just clicking on the CEO, he does have 163K followers on Twitter. So that's not nothing. And is the founder of Oxygen Labs, which is an NFT launchpad founded by himself. But yeah, I mean, the Twitter for Pixen has like 500,000 followers.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. It's look, it could be a quality project. I just love how I asked who the founders are, and we get some live NFT trader research right there. Even in a bear market, you can't take the NFT trader, you know, out of Captain Kicks. And I just feel like that's really reflective of, you know, who we are, that, you know, the participants in NFTs. But that is the big question that I'm asking every single time now is, who the hell are the founders of the project? Who's actually running the show? And, you know, I use that to decide whether or not I should buy in, which is why I'm looking at buying into the Something token. I just need to understand deeper Alexis Ohanian's involvement in it and whether he's hands-on. And if he's not, if he has, you know, any kind of say in who is hands-on. Nick, were you going to say something?
Who's the founders of Yuga Labs? Can you tell me that, huh? Like, yes, who are they?
The four guys that did Bored Ape Yacht Club.
Okay, you don't know, that, you don't know that, Garza's location? Yeah. Garga and Gordon.
Those guys seem like they did pretty good. I don't know, Nick.
I'm saying we don't really know a lot about them, right? Like, they just seem to be executing and raising billions of dollars. But do we really know them?
No, but like, we know they're pretty good at really NFTs. Do we really understand them?
I don't know. I mean, I just think, like, maybe the founders of this project that Captain Kicks brought up, who we don't know who the founders are, maybe they have the potential of building a multi-billion dollar enterprise.
Yeah, that's the bet that you make if you buy it now.
Sorry, I got muted, but I just wanted to say, I mean, if we keep asking questions about these projects and trying to figure out, you know, who's behind them, do they have any chance of success, we're really going to miss out on a major opportunity here just to spend all of our money on them blindly.
I think you're right. I definitely think you're right. I know that from experience. We got Farouk on stage. Farouk, what a big day yesterday was, huh? Like, so much hype going into yesterday, right?
Bro, today was crazy, right? Right?
When you tweeted that you, like, were talking to people in Australia and they it was already tomorrow, I got a big kick out of that one.
Yeah, yesterday was crazy indeed. Everything went fucking down.
Well, and also, wasn't like, so let's recap what we expected to happen yesterday. We expected Elon Musk to announce that he had acquired the entire NFT ecosystem. If you've missed out on this show, we had drawn, you know, the dots between a few dispersed stars in the constellation in order to figure out and do some research to identify the fact that, yeah, Elon Musk is probably behind nobody account. Turns out that nobody person sort of 5-5 was a big day for him, because he went completely off the rails and off the deep end and has literally lost any sorts of sense of credibility. And he pushed it so far that, like, it seems like he went from visionary to absolutely crazy,
like a straitjacket level performance.
Yeah, but I think on the flip side, you know, that's what it can be like to be a visionary sometimes. You know, like you swing in between those two states of I can see the future, and that future is me hospitalized.
Just so like making a Twitter Spaces about an acquisition.
Visionary. Visionary.
Maybe we just
moves.
Rename the show.
Yeah, that guy, nobody's just a regular, you know, a modern day Howard Hughes, really just a visionary, but went a little bit off the deep end. Oh, and Nick, I don't know if Nick just got rugged. See, this is what happens when you're a visionary and you start a Twitter space that breaks a rumor that turns out to be beyond false, is that you just go off the deep end. And clearly that's what's happening to Nick right now. Nick is just wallowing in his own despair. He doesn't understand what to do. He made too much money selling NFTs in the past 3 months, where his cost basis for those NFTs was literally zero because they got airdropped to him. So this is what can happen in the NFT space, ladies and gentlemen. Just be careful. Nick just said to me, I'm requesting to speak. Well, I don't see you, buddy. I think that this might be a hard
decline.
Oh my God. I can't believe this still happens.
Farouk, it happens really bad. Like, we tried to bring Franklin on the show yesterday.
I was there. I was in the audience.
I didn't even see you in the audience. So there you go. Does this happen on Rug Radio?
Well, funny enough, it's supposed to, but it stopped.
We're getting shadow banned over here. I don't know what we did wrong.
Yeah, I made a couple calls. I was like, yo, these guys getting way too many listeners. You know, dump it.
Then they had Cool Cats on the other line, and it was like, all right, there's too much evidence against these guys.
Like, come on, I've been rugged my fair share. It's time for other people to get rugged too. No, but that sucks. I'm sorry to hear. It's maybe one of your account. I don't know. Like, is it your account? I don't know. Like, we're getting rugged much less than we used to.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen for a while. Now the way that we get rugged is speakers just get rugged and they can't come back, including occasionally Nick, which is obviously very frustrating. All right, look, I'm going to try to troubleshoot this, but I'm going to throw to the other speakers that fortunately are not rugged. Bert is raising his hand, and we always love having Bert on the show. Bert is a 10KTF Maxi, a self-proclaimed 10KTF Maxi. And the past few days have been big days for 10KTF with the big announcement yesterday. I'm assuming that's what you want to talk about. Bert, but feel free to talk about whatever you'd like. What's going on?
Yeah, definitely want to dive into 10KTF a little bit. It was a pretty damn exciting day for us, and it's funny because a lot of people that are new to the project, they expect every announcement to be like a true announcement, but that's literally never the case. It hasn't been for the past 7 months. Every announcement, quote unquote, is like another teaser leading up to or just kind of unraveling that overall story. So basically what we got yesterday was last week we got teased that we were going to be able to rise with Wagmi-san, quote unquote. And last night they opened up a new location on the map, which was the quote Battle Town. And basically you could go in and essentially stake your parent NFT from the qualified list that they have. And I actually bought only one purely for that reason, because I had the Gucci Grail Gutter Cat game as my PFP, but they're adding that on today or tomorrow, they said. So basically, yeah, you could stake your parent NFT, and then you can add on your Genesis items or your crafted items. And what we saw was a lot of people were taken by surprise, because we saw that hoodies and the hats started to run way harder than the day packs and the shoes, because they're a lot more scarce in the collection. So they were trading for quite a premium. And then almost immediately you saw people starting to dump their Genesis items, which in my opinion is extremely short-sighted, because it's been made clear that those items are always going to be king. And even though they might not hold the premium right now, it's just like when before we saw the stockroom items go absolutely ballistic when the shop reopened. So I see it as a great buying opportunity to kind of get in low. If you were looking for a better entry, this is probably the best that you'll get. And you still see a lot of smart money accumulating at the bottom and just kind of loading up their bags. So that was pretty cool. And right now I think it's about 2,700 people that have like fully locked up their items. I don't know the staking or unstaking period. I think right now it's not really specified, but you can't really do anything with those assets. They're just locked onto the site. But yeah, nonetheless, extremely exciting. Love seeing the story unfold. There's a timer, I think 2 more days until the next phase of the mission begins. Don't know what that entails exactly, but the whole goal is to kind of help Wagmi-san rebuild his shop. So ultimately, it's just like that same amazing story being told.
We lost you there, Bert. But yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people are super bullish on 10KTF. A lot of whales swept 10KTF from like 0.6 all the way up to 1 ETH, accumulated huge bags. And I know that you've been long 10KTF, like a lot of people have been. A lot of people bought in like a while ago. Bert, if you can hear me now, what do you think of stock room at these prices?
So stockroom, I'm personally not buying any of the blanks or the materials, only because, I mean, the time to buy was when they were sitting below like 0.3 and the cloth was sub 0.1. In my opinion, there'll still be a good entry longer term. But if you're looking for the best value, I think the tools, especially the Thimble, it's funny in the Discord, it's a Thimble gang, and like people are diehard fans of the Thimble, and they claim like it's going to flip all these other projects, which I actually believe in. And it's so stupid because it's a little thimble, same with the scissors and the tape. But we've seen some massive sales, and the thimble got as high as, I think, 5.5 ETH, like 2 weeks ago, and now it's sitting around 3.2. So we don't know exactly what the full utility of that will be, but we do know that that will be upgradable in the future. So if anything, I would be looking at the tools.
So that's super cool to think about, that the thimble is kind of a standout. I have an in real life friend that was dipping his toe into the NFT space and was interested in metaverse related stuff. And he bought a thimble at 0.15. And I think he waited 2 months, got impatient and sold it for 0.15. And then he noticed that it's worth, you know, what it's worth now, and just started texting me GIFs of him jumping off of a bridge, jumping out of windows. It was pretty funny stuff. So I'm patching Nick in through Zoom. I can't hear him right now. Oh, okay, hold on. Nick, can we hear you?
Yo, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can the audience hear you? Can one of the speakers?
Yeah, we can hear him.
Yo, this is God speaking from PO. This is not Nick. This is God calling through. You know, it's kind of disrespectful to say that, but I'm just going to go for it. You know, that's what's going on right now. Pia, what do you have to say about that?
You're going to get me in huge trouble.
You couldn't tell who. Hey, this is Pio. All of you are assholes. All of you. Unfollow me right now. Please unfollow me.
I know that you're going to get me in trouble. You're going to say some wild shit. This isn't the first time. When we were riding in the car on the way back from Ape Mansion and we were using my phone to speak on Spaces, and you would say some wild shit, like talking trash to somebody, I had to go and walk back everything that you said because people see it coming from my PFP. So if you get me canceled, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
See Wappy with his hand raised, dude. Fuck you. Okay? You're not getting anymore. Okay? And my name is Pio.
Wappy, what's going on? How you doing?
Good. I guess I got a question and then two things. So yesterday, Block Bar did their Bored Ape bottle, and one of my friends had an existing Block Bar. So I bought a couple of those, and I'm going to give them to real life people because it's an NFT that they can hold, and it's something that I think makes sense to them. It's like, hey, here's a bottle of whiskey. At any point when you want it, you turn the NFT in and a real bottle will show up. So I think it's just a nice example, and it's a way for us to spend funny internet money on things that are real. Then doodles. I sold the doodle last night. I believe that the doodle announcement will be great today. I have no faith in doodle holders. So I honestly think my price prediction is we might see doodles get closer to like 15 ETH over the next 3 or 4 days, because I think doodle holders are going to capitulate and start to take large losses against each other as they try to just rush out. So I think the announcement's going to be good. I think doodle holders are going to ruin it. And then my question was, if you had could only buy one thing, would you buy a mutant or would you buy a coda?
Yo, Wappy, this is Pio. I just wanted to say this is insulting what you've said about the doodles. I completely disagree, but I'm
doodle holders only, not the team.
I'm a doodle holder, and you know, I just feel insulted by your words. Look, I'm going to continue holding, diamond handing it, and all those doodlers in this audience. You know, shout out to y'all. You know, y'all are the greatest. And never mind what Pio said.
So I don't have a doodle. So you were speaking on behalf of Nick, not you. Also, all of a sudden, the portal account has showed up. And I have a doodle. You want to do this? What I'm talking about? Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, no, this is too much. No, that was not cool. That was weird. Nick, can you talk from this account?
We're good to go. We got it. I think we're good. We're back. I just stepped down the Zoom that we were just on. Wow. Woo. Feel like I just got birthed. You know, that was like the experience that I was having there. The problem with Pio now is we literally can't hear him, I think.
What do you mean you can't hear me? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yeah.
Oh, we can hear you. My bad. That was a technical issue on my end.
Okay. But now, Nick, you're going to just ruin our brand by saying a bunch of wild shit from our brand account.
I'm going to put on the CEO hat on now. Hey, everybody, thank you for joining today. I just want to say, you know, this is the most professional space that we host here. We just want to appreciate everybody. You know, and say, welcome to the daily sort of financial analysis of a very volatile market here. We're looking at things going up and down. And let's turn to, you know, one of our next, you know, experienced traders who's been trading NFTs for decades, Spencer. Our resident NFT expert. How's it going, Spencer?
Dude, I am more excited about a product than I've been in a very long time, and it's 10KTF, because after yesterday's spaces and all the hype, I just dedicated yesterday to digging in. And there's so many, I've heard a lot of the rumors around it, but then confirmed myself, first off, their shoe they have, the high tops. So I was like, wait, this looks familiar. And I went and I grabbed my Nike Air Force ones. It's exactly a Nike Air Force one, down to the number and arrangement of holes in the front. And you might think, okay, that's weird. Who are they partnered with? Potentially Nike. If you look on their website,
wait,
who are
we
their
can
investors?
Claim something right now?
You can't claim it right now, right? But they've teased that in the future you'll be able to claim the physical goods. And even, and because they're a big enough brand, I'm guessing they have a partnership they haven't announced yet with Nike, because there's no way they would have been able to use exactly the silhouette of exactly the shape, literally down to the holes on the front and the strap across it. And the trim on the sole is exactly a Nike Air Force One high top on the 10KTF shoe.
But can you go claim this NFT right now?
No. Not- No,
okay,
no.
I just
no,
want to no. verify. Wow, hey, geez, I appreciate the tone around here. You we're just... very respectful of, you know, it was, he said you couldn't claim the physical. That, those were the words that he said, P.O. If you happen to listen to what these speakers are saying, it's very disrespectful the way that you kind of just ignore the words that they're saying. But I'm sitting here, and don't worry, everybody, I'm listening to you. I'm a firm, you know, I'm a very deep listener. So I really appreciate everything that Spencer was saying. And I just want to apologize on behalf of Pio. He doesn't speak for this business.
So anywho, if you look, so I was like, ooh, this is interesting. Why do they have a Nike, maybe shadowy partnership they haven't announced yet? We know they already have, they know they've been teasing Coda involvement since before Other Side launched. So they might reasonably think they have Yuga Labs involvement. If you look, who are their investors? The parent company is Wenu Labs. If you go to Wenu Labs and you look
up
Wenu Labs, you've got Animoca Brands, you've got Coinbase Ventures, you've got FTX, you've got Polygon, you've got Ripple, you've got all the really big names you want to see on a crypto project. A16Z isn't on there. I suspect there might be involvement, because if you look at who else is involved with Nike and Yuga, Animoca may be their tie into those companies, but I think there's reasonable that there's some sort of, it smells like A16Z to me as well. But anywho, if you look, the game they launched yesterday, I think this is one of the smartest launch mechanics I've ever seen. You get, it's unclear what you're doing exactly with it, but you have a team they're going to put together with your avatars. If you have a full set of the items, then you get a bonus, a multiple on the power of the items. And if you have a full matching set that matches the collection of your avatar, you also get a bonus. Now, as was said earlier, and I just want to emphasize this, the supply of hoodies, so only 5% of the collection is, so if you look at the bags of the shoes, you got 50% of the collection is bags, about 40% of the collection is shoes or other footwear. Outerwear, which is the hoodies, only at 1,000 total. Headgear, which is the hats, at 800. And if you're trying to build a full set, just to give you perspective, for example, there's only about 80 total Cool Cats hats, of which there is exactly one total listed on the market right now. So building these complete sets from scratch, last night it was about 6 ETH. If you wanted to do the cheapest full set of anything, you could get a full set of Oni for about 6 ETH. Right now, this morning, that's gone up to 9 ETH, because the hats and the hoodies are really scarce, and it's really scarce to see matching sets of hats and hoodies available on the market right now. I'm incredibly excited. I picked up 2 full sets. I did a Mutant full set and a Cool Cat full set last night, and I'm just so stoked, because I'm finally going to be able to take my Cool Cat into battle. And that's exciting. I thought it was going to be Cooltopia first. It's not. It's here. But we're going to battle one way or another. And I'm just...
Wait, so,
you look at,
but you're
going to
be well-dressed during that battle, yeah. Correct?
Oh, so we're like, dripping. We're dripping for the gods.
Definitely going to be dripping.
We picked up the one-of-one Cool Cat hoodie.
Oh, nice. Look, I'm sure that the 10KTF community, you know, loves hearing someone, you know, kind of do that deep dive and discover it. It's been pretty fascinating for me to see people discover 10KTF now. Like, a different, like, big time investor was posting about basically discovering 10KTF 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, not even the ones that were already into it. Like, someone kind of had their aha moment of 10KTF 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it's just interesting to me, because so many people had an aha moment of 10KTF like 5 months ago. And that includes
a big time investor with like a single digit million dollar fund. Is that what you're talking about?
So Wappy, you know, he had, was on it for like 5 or 6 months. Bert's been on it for a long time. My, you know, my Giga Brain pal Metapunk was probably the first person, I think, that was just all the way on it and accumulated a massive position early as fuck and just didn't sell anything. But no, Spencer, it's good to hear that you're in the game.
I think it's just so vague, P.O. Like, even their announcements when they put them out, like, they're just vague. And even from the beginning, people just don't really know for sure what the project is. Even when they make announcements, people are like, what the fuck is this? And it's a really cool thing, but I think people really need to know what they're buying into to ape in a way. And even their announcements get people confused. And I think it's good, but at the end of the day, it's like people probably get scared by not fully understanding what exactly they're buying into.
So yeah. So you're saying you don't want to spend $21,000 at the chance of maybe getting a hoodie? Is that what you're saying?
No, because... $20K max, Nick.
Okay, got it.
21K okay, cool. Crosses the line. But I mean, look, up until maybe 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago on this show, myself included, we were saying, but is someone going to want to buy someone else's NFT on a backpack or on shoes? And it was just indicative that we didn't understand 10KTF fully. And then I had my aha moment, even though I've been holding it for a really long time. You know, sometimes these things happen slowly and then all at once. And I'm sure that the 10KTF community is excited, you know, to see more people come around and more people kind of wake up to it. Wappy, you just raised your hands during this. Did you want to contribute to the 10KTF conversation or something else?
No, it was something else. I mean, we don't have to do this right now, but my friend is honestly looking at buying a mutant ape, and I had said maybe you want to look at a Coda. So I didn't know if any of the apes wanted to give their opinion on if somebody was looking to get in the ape ecosystem. Where
my target
go.
On Codas is 15 for total for that land. It's we're down to 20, so we're nearing the target that I have. Man, this is debatable. It's a good question. It's counter to, I think, where all the hype is right now. But for me, I still think like the prioritization here has to be apes underneath that, mutants underneath that, maybe Codas. And so
I wonder for the mutant, because I was wondering yesterday if I should actually sell my mutant now that it served its purpose of giving me both ApeCoin and I minted a land that had a Coda on it and I still have the ape. So I was wondering if I should keep them. So I had a the reverse thought about that. And so because I don't really see the Coda even like, I get the ape, then mutant thing when it comes to the club. And then you have the dog that's like kind of the Joker card. And I feel like the Coda is also a thing of its own. Like I see it kind of like a side, like there's still only 10K, right? And it's like the metaverse play. So I feel like it's like almost like the long term, I feel like it's their like metaverse board ape, if that makes sense. That's kind of how I saw it. But
yeah, I kind of looked at it like Farouk was looking at it. Like for me, it's hard for me to suggest he goes and buys that when it just got free ApeCoin and free land, because I don't know what the next thing is for the mutant. And I feel like Yuga might have something for the Coda, and they probably do have something for the mutant, but the mutant just got stuff and the apes just got stuff. And I don't know if we have any anticipation of what's coming next for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a mutant and a Coda. I got, and I want to throw it a note after this because I'm really curious to hear what he has to say about this. I have a mutant and a Coda, and my Coda came from my mutant land. And I mean, I'm not selling either, but if I was going to sell one right now, I think I would actually sell the mutant. The only thing is that you're not in the club anymore if you only have that, right? So the mutant is the ticket to the club. And I think that's probably the way that they're thinking about it, right? Because these guys are thinking on a long time horizon. They have like $1 billion in cash. That's how you think when you have that much money, right? And they took a bunch of venture money, right? So this is a different ball game. This is not little kid stuff at this point. This is like corporation level shit. And I've been saying that they are very, very corporate now. They're modern corporate. And they have a very ambitious goal of building out this metaverse game and basically being the first example of proper execution of this very thing. Like this is potentially, if they execute well, going to be the example. There's only 10,000 Codas. They just came out. We don't have any information. The whole of the floor is actually holding very well if you kind of look at the rest of the NFT market. And if you look at, you know, how much the floor land has gone down, the floor is pretty good and there's only 10,000 of them. So I feel like selling here would basically be the most short-sighted thing that someone can do. And the broader NFT market is super short-sighted. So I tend to like to do the opposite of that. And when everyone's like, yo, you know, CODAs aren't shit, like, you know, you should have sold it for $100,000 the first night, that tells me this is definitely something that I want to hold. But I'd be really curious to know what Node thinks.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you have to think about the Bored Ape Yacht Club. It's now, it's totally bifurcated, right? So you, if you want to be part of the club, like you mentioned, it's still Apes and Mutants. And then if you want to be part of the game, then you go for the CODAs. And those are two, in my opinion, very different things. So I think it all depends on where you want to focus on. And so I also would say one thing that CryptoPathic tweeted out yesterday. He's been a pretty bearish against the apes for, I mean, maybe forever. But he mentioned the fact that, I mean, Yuga has to now accrue value to mutants, apes, the ape coin, other side. So there's a lot of different facets of their business now that they have to focus on. So I think it really depends on what area you're the most interested in and what you believe in long term. And that's where you should place your bets.
But do you have a CODA? Thing, yeah. Do you have a CODA?
I do not. No, I was one of the only people that didn't get a CODA in my drop. Thank you for the reminder.
Sorry, someone else was going to say something. I'm DMing with Franklin right now because he's saying that he's requesting to speak. And shocker, I can't see him. So I'm asking him, I don't know if he's going to be down to get patched in through Google Meet or Zoom. We'll see. But shocker, can't see Franklin. Thanks so much, Twitter. Can't wait for Elon to step in.
I think Elon was in here too. Just can't see him, sadly.
He's on his burner.
No, he's on his regular account. I just can't see him. He's requesting to speak.
I see Franklin.
Yeah,
now.
He's requesting.
I see Franklin.
Oh, I see Franklin, by the way.
I see Franklin now. Look, I'm gonna rotate people. If I take you off stage, don't be mad. Sorry.
Yo, just don't take me off stage. I will literally murder you, okay? That's where we're headed if this is, because, you know, there's been a lot of smack talk here this morning. Your professionalism really has not been up to par here, and so I'd really appreciate it. Hey, Franklin, how's it going?
Franklin!
What's up? The first time on NFT Morning Alpha. So, yeah, it's good to see everybody. I'm very excited. And I'll be waiting on.
Hell yeah, man.
Big fan.
Yeah, Captain Kicks has been in my ear telling me, like, he's like, you got to hire Franklin. I was like, I've never engaged with Franklin before. Does Franklin make
– I heard Franklin like needs some money here. Like, I hear you're struggling. You need
– Hold on. Let me say what I was – so, Franklin, my idea is to have you do a YouTube show called Franklin's Flips, because you do all of these awesome flips, and I thought it would just be such a cool show. That was my idea. I've been
here
for months.
Flipping with Franklin.
I was gonna do a Twitter. I just changed my Twitter name. I was gonna do something with flips in it, but I have so I made it to 100,000 followers. No big deal.
Congratulations!
But like 25,000.
Franklin, you're a cat. We love you.
Thank you. But like 25,000, those followers are all tax attorneys. So I didn't want to put Franklin flips in my name and have my mentions just be, you know, tax attorneys and. Me end up being like Wesley Snipes, so I decided, you know, Franklin is bored. I'd rather be bored and people leave me alone.
Wow, so every day Franklin just sees his feed and it's just so-and-so, comma, CPA follows Franklin. That must be pretty interesting to see day in and day out. Go ahead, Nick.
Correct.
I just wanted to do a quick recap. So yesterday, Franklin correctly notified us that, and I don't know if you were here earlier for my summary of what went down with the nobody.eth person. But Franklin was the first to really point out that there's no way in hell that this person has any legitimacy whatsoever, as we were actively kind of spreading our conspiracy theory on stage, which, to be honest, you know, look, like I said yesterday, you can cut one thread in the entire web that we concocted here of our conspiracy theory, but there's those other strings are still tightly wound around the thumbtacks that we placed in the board. So the conspiracy theory still does exist, but you kind of poke some holes and threw some cold water on this. And you were pretty much spot on.
Thank you. That guy was a crazy person.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been here, you know, a year or so, but it's getting a lot easier to like spot out the people who are just trying to take advantage of, you know, people like us and make the most out of their opportunity to be a big whale in this space, even though they have nothing or, you know, some junk NFT. So,
Yeah, that was pretty easy to spot out. The real nobody.eth is in our exclusive gold for ape chat.
So oh, it's shit.
Pretty, it's pretty easy call there.
Well, that was we should have asked Franklin next time. We'll go to Franklin for the inside scoop moving forward before we go host a show announcing maybe an acquisition or announcing something. It's just, look, we're batting right now. Previously I used to say 60% batting average.
Which is right already now, an inflated average.
Right now our accuracy has been dropped down to about 40%. So that's sort of where,
wow,
where we're
40%,
headed right
now. Huh? Is that, can we like look up, like, you know, is that auditable? Can we audit that? Can we stick some of Franklin's CPA followers on that statistic?
It's pretty much accurate. So maybe we can ask Franklin, I'm curious. So how many CODAs got airdropped to you would be the first question I have. But then secondly, how are you thinking about this like ecosystem as a whole? And someone just asked on stage whether or not to buy a mutant versus buying a CODA. What is your thought on the overall system right now? And you're famous for diamond handing. So I'm wondering if like you're at this point, you're just like, yeah, I'm not selling anything. Like, just give me more.
Well, yeah, my land experience was is up and down. Obviously, very thankful that I got so many airdrops. I can't, you know, ignore that part. But seeing the floor drop from, you know, 30, 35 ETH on Sunday afternoon to like 10 ETH on Sunday night was kind of, it was kind of jarring. I never had an NFT that had such a large drop from unrevealed to revealed. I wanted to sell all the lands because I was actually making that leverage play. I was buying a lot of apes unclaimed, taking out, you know, putting the apes up for collateral loans, taking that loan money, buying more apes, claiming the land. A couple of those turned out to be CODAs. Those are, you know, decent plays, but not selling the land at 30 ETH. You know, that was obviously the move we should have all made.
Yeah, you're talking about the Bored Ape land specifically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I, you know, I only had I had 7 mutant lands and 2 of the public sale lands, and those lands were, you know, average, nothing crazy. So I had overextended myself after, you know, the floor price drop of the ape plan. So I had bought, I think, up to 56 apes. And I was like, okay, well, you know, now I can't hold on to all those unless I somehow make a whole bunch more money. So I had to start selling off pretty much all my land except for the land that matches my gold ape serial number. And it was very intense process. Imagine, you know, having to sell off like 50 items at the floor at one time. But I ended up with 6 CODAs, and of those 6, you know, I got decent numbers for them. I think 2 or 3 of them I got to sell above 40 ETH, and two more of them in like the 30 ETH, I mean 30, you know, like the low 30s, and then the last one was number 33. I sold it for 200 ETH. Or what? After fees, it was 200. But then the next, like 2 days later, it sold for 300. So,
oh shit!
Yeah,
Franklin, did you say you only have 7 mutants?
I had okay. So the real story is I had 4, and then I tried to buy 3 more with the same strategy. Like, okay, I'll just go scoop up some mutants to claim it, just in case, you know, the land is worth something. And obviously the you know, the floor prices sort of compressed on each other, so the mutant lands didn't really trying to be a good play compared to the current mutant floor price.
Why so many? How come so few mutants compared to how many apes, instead of like keeping a ratio of them?
Because I'm just an ape maxi person. There's only, you know, there's a limited amount of apes. It's a lot easier for me. I mean, you know, in terms of social recognition, social capital potential that I can do with an empty space, it's a lot easier for me to put, you know, 53 apes, no mutants in my bio, as opposed to like, you know, maybe 20 apes and, you know, what, 40 mutants or something.
Yeah, it would look different in the bio for sure.
Yeah, so I learned that pretty early on. Like, being a really like top holder of this collection really opens up a lot of doors, you know. Well, no matter like what else I have.
I didn't expect you to say like, no, like I literally am just trying to increase the number that I put in my Twitter headline. Like, I just want to have it say, so right now you're at 53 apes. So this is a variable number. I remember you were at 30 something recently. Yeah. and then you were at 57. Now you're at 53. So you know, do you have opinions on CODAs? Like, I understand. Okay, now we all understand your position. But let's say someone was going to either buy a mutant or buy a CODA.
His perfectly average position, normal and average. Like, so yeah, okay.
Totally normal. But yeah, what would be your position if you had to buy one? Would you buy a CODA or a mutant?
So yeah, to extend that point about the number of apes I got. So I had 47 before the drop. So obviously going up by 6 apes, that's a huge deal. Also, you know, a few of them are rare. I got a Marchat and a Space Ape along the way. But woo! 53 was a goal because Machi Big Brother has 52. So I was like, okay, if I can get one more than him, at least, you know, no matter how much I lost in terms of like the floor price dropping, at least I can like clear that hurdle. So that
one
was
quick 53 question. Was the goal. Why okay. Not 55 apes? 5-5.
We'll get there. I'm trying, you know, I'm hustling hard. I've tweeted a few times about a deal, a licensing deal. So maybe that can help me get there. But I'm not liquid enough for 55 unless I.
If
trade,
you see Machi go to 54, Franklin will be at 55. Then,
if he goes to 54, then I can like, you know, I can relax because the next person below me is like 36. So I have like a 16 ape cushion. Of like, you know, who has the most apes. So if I ever need to drop down, I'll be okay. But for now,
I think you're the most legendary person. You're the most legendary person I've ever met. Like, you're just like these things are worth $350,000. You're just like, I just need to beat my big brother.
Considering where I came from, that's a huge, that would be like a huge deal.
And you still work. You still have a job. It's crazy.
I'm trying. It's hard doing both, but I think I'm in a good position to like.
Wait, what type of job do you have?
What type of job? I'm an engineer, so.
Software engineer?
Structural analysis, so not really like much software coding.
My college degree is in civil engineering, Franklin.
So
yeah, look, so something similar.
But
to PO,
that's where the similarities stop. So I just want to be clear about that. But in terms of, so you're showing up every day and you're sort of surveying land. That's what you're doing right now is you're surveying the scene as it's being developed?
Nope, not at all. I'm in the space program. So,
what?
Yeah, I'm on a government contract. So NASA, pays our company to do some work for them. So I'm looking at like components, like electronic boxes and things like that. And just doing mathematical structure analysis on it.
We send Nick out to space so I don't have to deal with him anymore? What do you think of that?
Yeah, like
you thought
that.
He was some simple land surveyor.
Wow.
What I thought of a civil engineer. I apologize to everybody. I didn't realize the scope that he said civil engineer and we find out he's a fucking rocket scientist and literally like, but okay, continue.
But yeah, one day if I ever quit my job, maybe I'll just, you know, do some surveying land one day as a hobby.
do people at your job understand the magnitude of your, monkey picture investments?
There's one person who follows me. She DM'd me, but we never work together. I think she recently found out we work at some company. So, you know, we have an instant message, but other than that, nobody knows or has talked to me, but which is okay.
Do you also eat at McDonald's every day? Like, is that your like you're living the Warren Buffett life? That's basically how you're approaching this.
I McDonald's is one of my favorite restaurants. I don't eat there often. My wife always gets on me if I ever do. So I haven't been there in a while. But other fast food restaurants I've been hitting up. But definitely, I love McDonald's, and it matches the color of my ape, of course. So that's every time I go there, it feels kind of special.
So did we get it to a conclusion? Mutants versus CODA? What nope, one word not, answer? Which one is it?
I would take mutant a floor CODA and a floor mutant. I'll take both. I don't think you should like.
Frank, that's a Franklin answer.
Okay. Long term, I would take the mutant because we don't know anything about the CODA. There's like 10,000 other traits in the land that you know, are even more rare than 10%.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why like a CODA is so special right now. There's fewer dogs than CODAs, for example.
I do want to add just one point real quick about the CODAs that I was talking about with people the other day. So when you look at the licensing agreements on the website, it separates out the land being Animoca and the CODAs being Yuga. And so you have specific IQ records for the coda themselves. So I think that, you know, does give some sign of semblance that it could potentially be its own PFP project.
I think, I do think that's what hurts the codas, is that it's not a PFP right now. You know, you can't really flex your coda unless you crop it out or use some other picture of it, you know, like another website picture of it. With these NFTs, like Apes and Mutants, you get the full rights. You could do licensing with them. The picture's there. They're recognized.
They do show it on the Explorer, though, Franklin. They
yeah, but that's, I mean, like, if I'm trying to flex my Apes, for example, on my Twitter right. bio, I have an OpenSea account. Somebody can click on the OpenSea account, boom, they're the Apes right there. They can look at them. But if you have your coda,
we might be able to do that with codas in the future, though, right? Like, they right. that might well, be
that's the special dynamic at least.
If we complain loud enough to Yuga, maybe they'll do that. But as of right now, to see your coda, you have to go like to this other website, go type it in. You type it in the URL, things like that, and you know, that might hurt like the PFP flex, you know, aspect of it. Obviously, you know, people see it different, and they, you know, they just want the coda, just have the coda. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of flexing your coda, it's a lot easier to flex an OpenSea link than you know, tell somebody, hey, you know, you need to check out my coda, go to the other side, the XYZ/, and then go type this number in the URL, and then go click over here, and then boom, you'll find my coda.
Hey, so Frank, not to shift gears too much, but I'm really curious about your I know all of your ape stuff, but just your flipping strategy in general is fascinating to me. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, good question. I haven't done much this week, so you know, in NFT term, in NFT world, in NFT land, like a few days of not trading is like a whole career for other people. But in general, I just like one of my key indicators is how fast the sales are going. If sales have slowed down, it's more likely that people start undercutting and quickly trying to get out. At least that's what I do when I try to sell stuff. During a time when sales are going really fast, and this is what I obviously should have done with the other side, I just had ApeCoin trauma whenever I sold my ApeCoin too early. But when sales are going really fast, especially for a new project that's pre-reveal, like that project PXN last night, that would have been a good time to buy, because I think the best time is when sales are still flying and the price is going down. That's always a good time to buy, or right after a project reveals. So I don't really look into like schedules that much. If I did my research, I could figure out, okay, which project's about to reveal and whatnot. And I think right after reveal is always like the local bottom of a project. I think that's what happened with Beans too yesterday. But again, I haven't really been online that much. But
and frankly, like, do you use any tools to snipe, or are you just kind of do it just the normal way?
Twitter for just people, you know, buying and flexing their stuff. You can just look at, you know, important people that you follow, see what they're buying. And, you know, people like to always buy stuff and write threads. I sort of did that, and I kind of stopped. I didn't want to ever influence the market or make people think I was going to hold forever. But yeah, Twitter.
But you're not using like NFT nerds or anything like that. You're just kind of just buying off OpenSea.
IC.Tools is the best tool that I like to use. I know it might be like outdated compared to what people
NFT use. IC.Tools. Oh, IC Tools. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I use. I'm just, you know, I'm old school. So once I like a website, I just stick to it. But I'm sure there's, you know, like Trade Sniper and Flips Finance. There's a lot of different websites out there to like, you know, find cool stuff. But my strategy pretty much just involves buying floor stuff. So IC Tools is a good way of like visualizing the floor move up and down over time. And that's pretty much all I need to see. That and like how often the sales are happening. And they have a plot of every sale. And I can't really, you know, there's not really much more to ask for me.
Yeah, volume against sales activity. Go ahead, Mariano.
What are you looking at right now?
So the two projects I sold out of to help get my apes back in my wallet, but I like Boring Ape Prodigals, which they're gonna, I guess, rotate into a new collection called Chimpers, and 10KTF. I heard you guys talking about it earlier. I think it dipped a little bit yesterday. I haven't checked since last night, but maybe it was a good time to buy back in. I sold it around 1.3, and then price moved to like 1.6 and down to 1.4. So, and then also 10KTF Stockroom and 10KTF Gucci Grill. I guess, you know, you should have exposure to all of that going forward. And then I wanted to like the companions of these other blue chip projects like Beans and World of Lemon Galaxy and Cool Pets, but it seems like Beans out of those three are the only ones that are like doing very well, which means, you know, maybe it's a good time to buy the other ones. But so the companion projects for lower entry into, you know, blue chip, lower cost exposure into blue chips. You can also use NFTX tokens on SushiSwap. So you can always buy like fractional CryptoPunks, fractional World of Women or World of Women Galaxy, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of collections where you can just, I did that with Doodles. The floor price went down though yesterday, but you can buy a fractional Doodle instead of having to buy a full, you know, 50, 60 grand for it.
Yeah, and for all the people that are concerned about apes and the Bored Ape Yacht Club ecosystem being out of reach from a cost perspective because of how high the floors are, then you can just buy ApeCoin. I understand you're not buying a pretty picture, so it's not as fun, but you can just buy ApeCoin gradually. You can buy a dollar a day. It doesn't matter how much you want to buy. You can do that.
Well, and if you listen to us, you'll buy right at the top. So I like buying local tops, and so just watch us for this sort of perfect timing for that. We'll also even spread and feed into some rumors surrounding it. Just to ensure that we really are pushing the limits.
Easy has his hand raised. I think Easy has breaking news. What's going on, Easy?
Not much. I mean, I just wanted to. We got some
breaking news. Easy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's critical that we play that sound effect. Thank you. Back to you, Easy.
Gary V just acquired all 25 Fire Tier ownership passes from the Big 3 NFT, making him a minority owner of the previous champions, the Triplets. So now Gary V and the Solana project D-Gods are the only two that currently own the entirety of the minority shares in the two teams that are coming out with the Big 3 mint.
Holy shit, is Big 3 on Solana?
It is not. It's going to be an ETH drop.
Oh, but it's not out yet?
No. So right now, that's one thing I'm a little bit iffy on right now is they are doing what seems like these private sales.
Hold on. He got the majority of a minority?
He bought all of them. He bought every single one of the 25. So there's three tiers to the Big 3 drop. A fire tier, a gold tier, and a basic tier. The fire tier is the highest, showing the majority of that ownership stake. He bought all 25 of those, which means he is now the largest holder in that minority stake.
So yes, he's the majority of the minority. Okay, yeah. Just confirming that.
It's like there's now only like 10 more passes that can get you any exposure to that specific team. This mint is supposed to happen, I guess, in like a month, if that. They're still doing a whitelist. I was in the Discord, so if you are interested in it, we did see what an absolute dumpster fire the NBA mint was. Yeah. Even though it was free. Ice Cube's been doing spaces, so I have no idea. This still feels a little cash grabby to me, but if you're going to get a marketing pump from Gary and a marketing pump from probably the number one marketer in Solana, being Frank, might have some legs to it once it does mint out.
Ice Cube's a really good entrepreneur. It's also not the first foray into the NFT space for Ice Cube because Trevor Jones, fine artist from the Nifty Gateway days, actually did a drop in collaboration with Ice Cube, and I think it performed relatively well. Obviously, that market, you know, as a whole has kind of cratered a little bit. Vicky, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
GM Franklin. I just wanted to check, what do you think, how are you with dogs? How many dogs have you got?
So after ApeCoin drop, I wanted to make a play on the dogs because the ratio of the ApeCoin was like sort of 10 to 1 and the floor price diverged. The dogs were sitting at like 7 and the apes were, you know, hitting close to like 100. So I had like 13 dogs on time. And then like 2 weeks ago when the floor was still like 7 or maybe even less than 7, I decided to trade up to another ape. So I traded like all 13, well, I think 10 of those 13 to Cirrus. He's a really popular flipper. He tweeted, like, I just spent 165 grand on dogs. And, you know, I had to do it to get another ape. That was obviously not a good move because dogs pretty much doubled the next week. But after that, I'm just back down to two dogs. So I have a gold dog and then a dog that matches the serial number of my gold ape. So that's a DMT for a dog. So I have two dogs. And I would like to get more if I ever get some more money because of that ape coin proposal that just got passed. They still lack that ratio in terms of if you combine a dog with an ape, you get like an extra 10% or so kicker in your staking. So I'll just have to look at to see if, you know, it's possible for me to if I ever get more liquid, instead of, you know, going for extra apes, you know, if ApeCoin staking, if the ApeCoin price, you know, holds pretty well in terms of people generating ApeCoin and selling it off, you know, not tanking the price, then, you know, for my bags and sort of passive token earning, it'll be better for me to invest in dogs at this price gap, which is less than 1 in 10 currently. Now, if the dogs, you know, go up in price to be like more than 1 in 10, then it wouldn't be a good move for me.
Do you think on the roadmap we've got the Mecha Battle coming? And I don't think there's any coincidence. I've mentioned this before, that with the Mecha Battle coming on the roadmap, that there's 10,000 coders and 10,000 dogs.
Well, there's not 10,000 dogs. There's only like 9,602 because not everybody claimed their dog last June when we had a chance. So there's always going to be less dogs than codas, unless, you know, I assume there was 10,000 codas. So there's going to be a surplus number of codas. So I don't know if that, you know, those are related at all, or the team will have to do something creative about that. But for sure, I think dogs are going to be like the next highlight collection, you know, in terms of mecha dogs and stuff.
Well, Franklin, let me tell you something. You know, the world economy is not looking great. We may not need structures anymore with how the world economy is going. So if there's no more need for structures, I'm telling you, you got a real natural talent in the NFT space. And I think people would love to just hear more from you about the trades that you do, your thought process, et cetera, et cetera. So
we'd love to pay you $500 a month for that. And so if you're interested, you know, I know that that's going to help you get over the course of, I can't run the numbers, but I think somewhere in the next 10 years, that'll be able to afford another you ape. Ape. Yes, exactly. So if you're interested in getting one more ape, we'd love to make a contribution towards that.
We'll talk, and, you know, who knows, ETH might go down to, you know, $10 and this would be a lot more affordable, or the ape floor might just drop, you know, to $500, and, you know, we'll have a rerun of last May when they were $200 a mint, and we can all get as many apes as we want. So I'll be looking forward to that day, and then each video I make, I can buy ape. So that's why I changed my social name to Franklin is Bored on Twitter, and I also made a TikTok account, or I already had a non-used one, but I changed it to that, and my OpenSea and Instagram, although I don't know if I'm using Instagram, but I want to make sure I have like a nice name now so I can do stuff like that and make more content.
Franklin, I got a question from the Signal. She DM'd me and she wanted to know what's your like thought process, or how do you like decide on your bet size when you make a play?
The thing I see is I have to hear about the project first. It's usually hard for me to make a play. Unless I'm just a really nice person to somebody and they ask me to buy something, usually it's something that's already has done numbers. So I don't really get like the beginning or the whitelist or mint of a lot of projects. So, you know, it's getting a little bit harder with more people coming in space and not as many projects. You know, with more projects coming in, the ratio of successful projects obviously goes down. But I don't really make really expensive plays unless it's a Yuga Labs or like a Moonbirds. So anything other than that, I try to keep the entry below, you know, 2 or 3 ETH and just buy one thing. I know people say buy three. I just buy one. If I flip one for $10, then I got $10 extra. That's great. So, you know, just keep it easy. And you have to like take your emotion out of it. I've mentioned, you know, it's okay to sell and get part of your money back, even if it's for a loss. It's better than what you did for your food today. All the food that you ate, you can't just take the food back and get your money back. So at least in NFTs, you have that chance. So don't treat it like it's a, you know, money that you have to lose if you can get out and make a better play. And then,
Franklin, I guess I had a question about that, because I am kind of curious, like, what do you use for like a stop loss, or like when you do cut a trade? Like, I follow a lot of it, so it's like definitely high frequency. It's definitely how
that I was definitely my next. Yeah, that was my next point. Just there's project that I buy with attention that like I'm already going to sell it by the next day, regardless of what the price is. If it goes down 5%, I'm out. If it goes up 5%, I'm out for sure. So, that's sort of my plan, like just buy it and then check the next day, see what happens. So that's why you make sure you buy, you don't really buy the top, because you know, when sales start to slow down, that's when the floor price, you know, really corrects. And it's really fast, and it could last only like the amount of time that the floor price exceeds your buy-in price could only be like a day long for the entire lifetime of the project. So you just have to make sure you get out in time. I don't know when this pattern stopped, but it seems like new projects tend to moon for like 1 or 2 days, and then there's a huge correction after that. And influencers and people who tweet about it tend to move on to the next shiny thing.
Oh, go ahead, Mariano. Go ahead.
Sorry, Pio. Sorry. Like Frank, I've seen you did some amazing trades with the dogs in the past. They followed you so much. I mean, that was nice. Everything you were tweeting about the profits and stuff, it was very interesting. Like, and you just mentioned it, the birds, and I was about to ask even before you said it. Like, do you treat those just as you treat the dogs, or you see them more like Yuga Labs investment? How do you see those? Like, because they go up and down like 10 Ethereum every 2 days. Like, what do you think about those?
Yeah, I mean, the money that came in was originally very shocking to me. I did not expect any project to hit that high of a floor price in that short of time. So I missed the entire run-up. The last flip I made was from 30 to 37 on that project. And then all the Ryan Carson news came out the next day. So I was glad to have gotten out. I think just like any other project with Moonbirds, there has to be some sort of next wave of new users and next big announcement. And I mean, it's so weird saying this, but and I don't want to influence anybody's decision, but it seems like people want free stuff now. They want airdrops. They want like extras to the NFT that they own. And they think that that would grow the value of the original NFT, which is hit or miss. But like, for example, the other side land, a lot of people got, you know, 10 ETH land for their 150 ETH floor ape, which the floor price has already dropped 50 ETH. So, you know, it's like I said, it's hit or miss for some of these free like airdrops and utility. And I've heard plenty of apes and mutant owners say, oh, there's nothing on the horizon for us apes and mutants. So it's like, it's FUD a week after we got airdrops and a month after we got a whole bunch of ApeCoin.
It's so ridiculous.
Like, still looking for the next thing.
At this point, you bought this asset that you essentially have received. Let's exclude the price that people paid for it, because if we compare it to that, it's just absurd already, the airdrops that you received. But even if you purchased at the current price, the amount that you've received essentially is like, there's no reason for one to sell their remaining ape at this point, because you can just hold on and hope that, you know, they end up airdropping something else, because it's just an insane position that I don't think anyone that bought in the first place ever anticipated that was going to materialize. But I love these FUD moments, and I think there's definitely a trade here. I'm wondering, what do you think? Like, if you were going to have a target price for apes dropping, Where are you aiming for like a low to potentially even accumulate more?
So for your first point, I think I heard you guys talk about CryptoPathic's tweet about how Yuga needs to deliver value to not only 10,000 apes, you know, 18,000 or so mutants, dogs, and then 100,000 pieces of land. And I think that's where the FUD would come in, because you know, people mint land, and then a week after they mint land, they want free stuff. They want the land to turn into something. They want another airdrop land to make a 200,000 collection. They want CODIS to magically appear. Like, you know, instead of paying, you know, getting what you paid for, there's always going to be that one extra thing that we always want with the asset. So that always could cause people to sell and drop the floor price. The way I look at the pattern of day prices, and don't quote me and don't trade based on the information, but I think that usually Friday through Sundays are good for NFT markets, and then Monday is when people start panicking again. So regardless of the floor price, you know, today's Friday, it'll be a good time to buy. It just sucks. Wait. With OpenSea fees and stuff, you know, 5%, that's like 5 ETH for 100 ETH object. But if you were in flipping in like X2Y2 or some of those websites, Fridays through Sunday seem to be like a good pump for markets, and then Monday.
Wait, so what's the target? What's the target price?
Downside. Well, I think today is Friday, so whatever the price is now, like what, 105 or so? that's and then if it's like 90 next Friday, then buy it on Friday. If it hits like if it's like Tuesday and it's like 80, you know, maybe.
Oh, you're doing short term flipping on that front, is what you're saying. Yeah. So you're okay. Yeah, got it.
I mean, you have to. I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to make if you need to grow your ETH value to make more plays, you got to get in and get out. So, I just think the pattern, and you know, usually things Fridays things kind of pick up. There's a lot of influencers that are like, you know, hyping things up and tweeting stuff, and when people see a lot of sales, it seems like there's a lot of FOMO coming in. And it's not just restricted to apes, but in terms of like the price, you know, the price now will be a good time to buy. If it dropped, if you bought it and it dropped again, that's obviously sucks. But let's say if it dropped to like 90 by next Friday, then that would be the next price. For a long term, I don't think it matters when you buy it. There's always going to be I feel like you're going to get a lot of value back from the team eventually. Just you're not going to get free stuff next week.
Well, you never know, frankly. No. I'm sure that we're not going to get another one. But I mean, look, man, it is crazy for me to hear the kind of psyche that you've had. I think it's personally incredibly badass. I think the amount of risk that you're taking with these leveraged bets and the amount of stuff that you're buying and selling just to accumulate more also is perceived very well by the broader NFT market, who are always fans of risk and always fans of selling. But I just really appreciate the diamond handing of this collection that you've built up this insane level of conviction in, although it does sound like a huge part of it is that you just want to flex on other people. So that's that chip on your shoulder competitive side too. I was thinking to myself, this is like the most demented competition of all time. Is like, this guy's got 54 Bored Apes, I need to have 55 or whatever, you know, you and Makai Big Brother and these other folks. Dude, we'd love to have you on the show more often, man, because it sounds like, you know, at the end of the day, you're deep at this point in the NFT market. You could liquidate these assets and be a multi-millionaire, quit your job, buy Lambos, buy, you know, homes, probably mansions. And you're
you
not
start
doing
with
it,
the Lambos.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, because you need it's pretty clear that
rotate,
you need 40 Lambos.
Rotate into the Lambo market. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, if I wrote 53 Lamborghinis in my profile picture, like, everybody would just turn me off and think I'm overcompensating for something. But, you know, I can flex these pictures, and, you know, it's pretty cool. So that's one reason why I like keeping them in the digital world. It's a lot easier to flex. I can pull out my phone and show it to somebody. I don't have to have like 43 or 53 drivers of Lamborghinis roll up beside me and say, "Hey guys, here's my collection." But, you know, I'm going to be in Miami next week. I mean, sorry, I'm going to be in Miami this weekend. And so there'll be I'll be seeing a lot of Lamborghini. So it's going to be tempting to want one down there. But, yeah, I've been teasing sort of like trying to get a licensing deal with these apes. And hopefully if it goes through, it could set a good example of what you can do in Web3 and the power that you have over your own digital asset, and show people that you can – you know, you can, if the more you market yourself, the more you brand yourself, you can make money from these, you know, images and still hold on to them. You don't have to sell them. And so it could be a form of passive income. So hopefully that's my goal, is to try, you know, be an inspiration to the space and influence people to like realize, okay, you know, buying is not just, you know, a picture that's illiquid. You can actually, you know, license it out and make money from it. I can't promise that for, you know, 100,000 people for the same company, but at least it would be a good example.
I mean, frankly, what you just said is like the most obvious thing that I think the broader market does not fully grasp, is that the valuable assets from here, it doesn't mean that some random project that goes to zero will have value long term, but the quote unquote proper blue chips, like the actual valuable assets, are like, you know, a piece of property in Manhattan, right? It's like property in cyberspace. And, you know, there was no appropriate time in the past 150 years to sell, you know, a city block of Manhattan, you know, if you owned it. The Vanderbilts, you know, the Van Eycks, like these families, they don't like trade Manhattan property assets. They buy it and they leave it in the family for generations.
They borrow against it. Manhattan land to virtual pictures or virtual land as those.
And here's somebody that doesn't understand it, man. Bored Ape Yacht Club is comparable. It's just straight up is. It costs more than a house in most places. Bored Ape Yacht Club. I'm not talking about like XYZ random NFT bag, but this is just another example where it's like, what a silly idea. watch what happens to bored apes over the next 15 years. Just, you know, pay attention, grab your popcorn. At the end of the day, this is a staple in the digital ecosystem that's not going anywhere. This technology is effectively bulletproof when you compare it to the technology that came before it. So owning 57 bored ape yacht clubs, including a gold fur bored ape yacht club, is an incredibly valuable asset. And when we look back on it over a period of 20 years, right now we're literally in the first 12 months of Bored Ape Yacht Club existing. After 20 years, you're going to look back and all you're going to say is there was never an appropriate time to sell it. It just flat out never made sense to sell it.
Because a Bored Ape should be worth the same price as a skyscraper in Manhattan.
Well, there you go. The co-host of the show doesn't fully grasp digital scarcity and value. So there you go. That's the show you've been listening to, everybody. Thank you for coming. But frankly, no, seriously, this was awesome, man. You're welcome to come anytime. We'd love to hear your opinions, you know, beyond Bored Apes. I wanted to call something out. Easy had talked about the Gary V and Ice Cube move. It seems that our own audience member, Swan Sit, so Swan, you know, swansit.eth, she's verified. You can see her in the crowd. She's actually, I think, hosting a space. It's either on Clubhouse or a space with Gary Vaynerchuk and Ice Cube today at 3:15 p.m. So it looks like Gary is like full on.
Yeah, he's swinging at this.
Yeah, he's full on, like about to pump this thing. So this is the big three project by Ice Cube, which apparently
it mints tomorrow for Whitelist, by the way. So I was wrong about later in the month. It mints tomorrow for Whitelist, and I think the 9th for public sale.
Well, I don't care about a space if it doesn't have anything to do with us. I'm going to be straight up honest and this disrespectful if it's not being, you know, if Ice Cube's out here fading us, that's a bunch of bullshit. I've had enough of this. And that he, let's see each other in the streets, Ice Cube. Huh? How about that?
That'll work out well for you. So we got a couple more minutes here. You know, Easy, was there anything you wanted to add? I know you got your finger on the pulse of maybe lower cost items in the NFT space, what, you know, Solana and stuff. Like, how are you approaching this market at this point? You and me got wrecked on a nice little trade yesterday. That was really fun.
Got wrecked.
What do you have going on?
The Sol market's still hot. I mean, that's the best part about it is, like, even though it seems like some of these ETH projects are pulling back, we're still seeing a lot of like low cost entries on the Solana side. We've seen a couple projects that have minted for like $30 to $50 currently go 8 and 9x over the last 2 days. So they have been somewhat degenerate mints. I shared one yesterday in the Sol Trades channel, and a bunch of the people in there actually hit on it. It went 6x out the gate, a peaked at a 10x from 0.32 all the way up to a 3.2. So we're still seeing a ton of volume, ton of liquidity. Volume's at an all-time high and continuing to trade over 200,000 Sol a day. So if you think ETH's slow right now, come dip your toes in, lower cost of entry over there. From the ETH side, I mean, we're still getting a lot of like these Dutch auctions that are selling out at a pretty high cost. So I've been a little bit passive on some of that, looking to trade. I mean, obviously, Pio, we got cooked on that Searlight trade yesterday. So it's even tough to find some of these lower entries because they look good, they sound good, and then yet they still light me on fire. So at this point, I'm just kind of like liquidating some stuff. I'm excited to kind of see too what this big three move is. I've been in that Discord early, and I mean, the pricing structure is a little weird. I'm worried it's going to do an NBA like move, but shit, if we get the right marketing on it, that thing is going to move at least the first day. So I'm going to keep a pulse on that from the ETH side. But right now it feels like Solana summer is still just heating up.
Well, that's crazy. Like, if Solana does pop in this market, that'll be nuts. The other thing is that you have to keep in mind, could NFTs and crypto assets like Ethereum and Bitcoin both go down at the same time? I mean, obviously, yes, that's what's happening right now. But I have to imagine that at some point, they really are inversely correlated. Again, that doesn't mean your bag is inversely correlated, but the good stuff, the stuff that the whales want in the NFT space is inversely correlated, or at least it seems so thus far, against Ethereum. So I have to, it's just such a cool market dynamic that we have now, where even if crypto's in the gutter, you could see wins that pop off in the NFT space. And as long as your goal is to accumulate the underlying crypto asset instead of accumulating, you know, the fiat money equivalent, then you're totally fine. If you're saying I'm trying to turn a bag of 2 ETH into 10 ETH and I don't care what the dollar value of Ethereum is, then I do think that we will see that settle. But in the really heinous moments of volatility, like when we quote unquote throw the baby out with the bathwater, I do think that we'll see both asset classes go down. But it's just such a cool, you know, dynamic that we have now. And Captain Kicks talks about crypto traders getting into NFTs and identifying NFTs as a market, you know, where you can actually make money still when all other markets just aren't working. Node, you raise your hand for a second. Did you have something to add before we wrap?
Well, I wanted to pump my Azuki bags for a little bit just because the drop yesterday went very smoothly, as per usual. And despite all of you fudding my little beans, all of a sudden, Pio and Wappy, like the last few days, have been tweeting, oh, you know what? These actually look kind of cute. Like, these are okay.
Nah, fuck them
and
beans.
Here you go. Here you go. It's coming. And you know, bringing on the advisor, dude, I'm doubling down on the Azukis for now.
Yeah, no, you don't want to get influenced by the co-hosts and the speakers on this show, because that you probably want to go the opposite way in a lot of situations. What I'll say is that I saw some tweet that said that the beans are the equivalent of Bored Ape Kennel Club, and that Azukis will probably drop a companion collection that's like the evil Azukis or something like that. And I think that totally makes sense if they basically followed the same trajectory as Bored Ape Yacht Club when other people were skipping to the sort of mutant airdrop instead of doing the kind of dog approach the way Bored Ape Yacht Club did. The other thing is that I think the art style of the beans is a stark contrast to the art style of the proper Azukis, but it is still an art style that I think works, especially for the market that Azuki attracts. And the other, like the fact that Azuki's floor is what it is and the beans are holding what it is that I think everybody, or the whales, I should say, the holders of Azuki and the people that are buying Azuki here believe that it's the strongest IP play in the NFT space. I still don't know who the creators of Azuki are, but clearly they're some pretty damn good people. I wish that, you know, we could get a really clear idea of who these people are, because they're doing an incredible job. But yeah, I mean, to me, the behavior of the market over the past few days has kind of confirmed that Azuki is a legit blue chip. You know, congratulations to you, Node, and I hope you don't regret selling one of those beans. But it's been pretty crazy to see, you know, what's been going on with that. Look, that's our show, folks. The show happens 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. It was great having Franklin on today. This was awesome. We'll see you next week. You can also check out the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts, as well as our YouTube content that you can catch on YouTube or also on the podcast. We upload all this stuff right after the shows wrap up. We're sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY. We're going to be giving away a Creature World NFT and a Capsule House by Searlight in the next couple weeks on behalf of FTX. And yeah, we just hope that you'll join us every day for this show. Our NFT he's pinned to the top in honor of Franklin and his Gold for Ape. This is the track that we're going out with. We will see you guys next week.